today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Thank you for listening to the Talkin' Rock podcast. I do appreciate it. My special guest today is Jamie Madrox from the band Twisted. They have a special Christmas gig coming up. He tells me about that and the charity that helps, plus the new album and his thoughts on that.
When it comes to us musically, we always try to go there and more importantly, go where we've never gone before, Captain Kirk style.
His love of horror movies, especially Halloween. We talk about metal and metal bands, their experience on the Warped Tour this past summer.
It was a blast. It was like seeing the world through different eyes.
He talks about how their music affects people, as well as their upcoming Astronomicon Comic-Con convention and some of the great guests they have appearing, plus how you can help me, and in return, I'll give you a little exclusive Twisted information on the next podcast. That's all coming up today with Madrox from Twisted on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Thank you so much for downloading, listening, subscribing, giving it 5 stars. That's what we're looking for. If you get a chance, give this podcast a 5-star rating. As a matter of fact, later on in the podcast, I definitely want you to give it a 5-star rating because I'm going to give you a little extra Twisted information. We'll tell you about that coming up here in just a bit. No rock news with Al back again for the second podcast in a row. I feel bad stiffing my boy Al, but it's just the way the schedule works out, and he's not here and I'm here, and just different things like that. But Al will be back later on this week. I've got a guitar player set and ready to roll in my next Talkin' Rock podcast, perfect for the holiday ho-ho season. In the meantime, Madrox and Monoxide are doing what they do, working on their brand new record. They've got a chair event happening this coming weekend in Pontiac, Michigan, touring the country, kind of, sort of, playing a New Year's gig in mid-state Pennsylvania. We'll talk about that, like I said in the intro, the Warped Tour, metal bands, horror stuff, a little taste of the brand new record, and a ton more. It's Madrox from Twisted today on Talkin' Rock.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for waking up early.
You're only giving me crap because the last time, man. Sometimes I'm what they call unprofessional, and I just have long nights and late mornings. But nevertheless, I am here now with you, brother. How are you been, man?
I'm doing good. You know what? I'm thinking to myself as I'm talking to you right now, you could have just come into the studio today. We could have just done it live, so let's do it live.
Well,
but no big deal.
That would have been actually really rad. If it wasn't for, like what I'm doing currently is I have been living in our studio here and just literally trying to put this record together. And it is just consuming almost every free and spent hour of my day. So I'm keeping it working. But I have to come to your studio. We have to do that at some point. If not today, another day.
Exactly. So, hey, as a matter of fact, I want to stop by your studio one day, and I want to get a little sneak peek of what's going on with you guys.
I'm saying, and if you do, you know you're going to end up on a track or something. That's the only fee.
Is that how it works?
I got to have Meltdown on the track. You do an intro or something, man. You know how we get down. That's a Detroit love. That's how we do it, man.
That's hysterical.
Great.
Well, we'll talk about the new record here in just a second. But first, let's give this gig a plug. December 7th at the Crowfoot, and you guys got the East Side mashup with you guys and Blaze, ABK, The Rock as well. All going to be cranking things out, and it's all for donations, and you collect money and food for gleaners, and tell everybody about the event happening December 7th at the Crowfoot in downtown Pontiac.
It's our annual Twistmas party. We try to it's our way at the same time of trying to give back and at the same time do something positive and at the same time rock the house and have some fun. So basically what we do every year is we do the gleaners thing and we try to help out and not make it. We tried to, the first one we did, we tried to make it free, and we found out that it was just really weird because people who were making the trek from other states were like, I can't verify if I'll get in if I drive 6 hours to get there. How do I guarantee that it's not sold out as I pull up? So then we thought about making it like $1. So you know, there's some sort of, you have a physical ticket so you can, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They try to make some sense of the craziness, because you could just say, oh, we want to do a free show and we want to help out everybody, and then when you the next thing you know, you got a mess on your hands. But luckily we were able to fine craft it and perfect it, and we are on our, how many years is this now? This will be the fifth annual. So whatever kind of recipe we got going on, it's been sticking. Not quite the 31 spices of Colonel Sanders, but we got something cooking our way too.
Yeah, there you go.
Stuff, man. It's gonna be good.
No, that's cool, man. You guys do a great job with this. Like I said, you get the food for gleaners. You're helping all those people out, and it's just a good cause all the way around. Is this kind of like your last hurrah for 2018? But I know you guys have a gig in Reading, Pennsylvania for New Year's. But is this kind of it as far as Twisted's concerned? Going to be kind of getting down in the studio, getting that worked out, and Astronomicon all pounded out too?
I want to say yeah. I want to say you're right. Yeah, pretty much. That'll probably be like the last hurrah for like around here. And then, yeah, the New Year's Evil is the next gig on the way. And then it's the road to Astronomicon begins, man. And we, like last year, like with everything we do, we're trying to raise the bar and trying to keep it a little more, do a little more extra each time and try to not bite off more than we can chew in the process of that. But yeah, it's we got stuff on the belt ready to come down the conveyor line, man.
Now, I can imagine the conversation that you and I had with George. You're probably like, dude, listen, we want to play a gig on New Year's Eve, and we are not going to do it anywhere but in Reading, Pennsylvania. Is that what you guys said?
Well, no, to be honest with you, George just drops like knowledge on us like birds drop shit out of the sky. He's just like, hey, man, what do you think about Reading, Pennsylvania? And I'm like, it's a nice place with cool people that live there. And he's just like, bam, New Year's Evil. And I'm like, okay, you're booking a plane flight for me, right? Because I'm not walking there. It's way too far. So it's like, so we just, it's like that's just the gig. And it's like we've done it for, I want to say, a few years back to back, and we were doing it in the Ohio areas and stuff like that. And it's like, what we're trying to do with a lot of things is branch out and move to different locations so other people can play, so to speak. You know what I mean? Because it's like not everybody can take weeks or days off of work and then, $600 in gas to come see. You know what I mean? Because it's literally, it's a New Year's Eve show. It's a one-off show. You know what I mean? There's not like there'll be three of them or something like that. So trying to just basically move them around the globe, so to speak, so more people can get an opportunity to experience a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Yeah. I don't want to bust the balls too bad of the people in Reading, Pennsylvania, but it is just kind of funny. It's like, man, out of all the cities in the country, that's where you're going on New Year's Eve.
Yes! We're trying something different, Meltdown. I love it, dude. That's great.
So you got the new record. You're working on it right now, and I've been told it's called Generation Nightmare.
Yes, sir.
And Monoxide told me, he was telling me that, he was saying, this is your guy, Sergeant Pepper. He says, this has something for everybody. Tell me
awesome.
Your thoughts on the record and the direction it's going in the whole thing.
Where I'm at is I think that it's with everything we do, we try to raise the bar, but not only just that, it's like on all the, when it comes to us musically, we always try to go there and more importantly, go where we've never gone before, Captain Kirk style.
Yeah.
And it's like, we try to, bring new ingredients and new vibes and new styles into the fold to stay ever current. And at the same time to keep it interesting, because I'm a firm believer that, if I want to hear somebody's old shit, I'll just buy their old shit. You know what I mean? But it's like, and I know that people are always scared, and that's another problem too. I've noticed that a lot of bands and artists are scared to go outside of their comfort zone because they're worried about their whole fan base just abandoning them and being like, oh my God, I don't like you no more because you sound like this now, or you're starting to say, people are fans and people like that are very temperamental. But what I found out is the people who really, really believe in their music and really do it for the love of the music and the integrity and the artistry and are real artists, and you believe in the product you put out, I think you lead with your best foot forward, and I don't think there's any reason to be insecure. So that is the mind frame that I am in right now. We are putting together the greatest music we've ever made. It's so much on a new level, and I'm actually proud. I'm not the type of person to, polish my own horn or do your own whatever you say, but I mean, honestly, I am so into it. I'm so into the music we do. Like, I'm not that guy too who put on my CD so I can hear me. I'm usually oh, let's go nerdy. Don't play ours. We've heard it a million times in the studio. But I find myself throwing our music in my little makeshift playlist I have on my phone, and it's like, man, it feels good to sound real and be a part of something that's greater and something that's growing. So yeah, man, I'm ecstatic, man. I'm over the moon. Santa can't bring me shit that I don't already have right now. That's where I'm at, Meltdown. God damn it.
Now, do you have a release date?
We do not. Only thing I will say, because I hate saying things and then I can't, you know, honor them or whatever. But we're shooting for the first quarter of 2019.
So possibly around Astronomicon, kind of sort of, but probably a little bit after. I'm guessing.
You will probably, and I'm being very presumptuous by saying this, but you will probably see promotion and or something in the form of a sampler or audio teaser of some sort by that time to get you ready for it coming out. Yeah. And we've been talking about trying to do, you know, keep with the times as far as, like, you know, everybody's so digital now. Everything is digital now. I know we talked before and I said that I'm like, I'm the collector. I like everything to be physical. I like to hold and read the liner notes and what have you and all that kind of stuff. But I have to give in partially to reality. And reality is, like, we are living in a digital age. Like, you know, somebody's album comes out, oh, I just bought it. Like, you didn't even leave your seat. Oh, I got it on my phone. And I'm just like, it's so, okay. I'm literally Fred Flintstone living in George Jetson's world, but that's okay. I understand. I need to buck up and get with the system, man. I'm not afraid to be that guy. But yeah, so we're trying new things and going outside of our comfort zone, as anybody who believes in their product should. You know what I mean? Like, put it all on black and let it ride.
That's right. And speaking of, you know what a big vinyl guy I am, and you guys released a thing on Record Store Day as well.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah. That was really cool. A picture disc with I want to say it was like a 7-inch or something. Yep. Is it 7 or 10? But yeah, just like all that collector stuff, man. Again, we love it. And it's just like, you know, we finally put out House of Crazies is now available on vinyl. And it's really like a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a trend. And it's like, I call it what you will. But what I will call it is one more positive vote for the collector people, for people like, you know, you and I who actually enjoy music and not only just listening to it, but actually having it. Like, sometimes I just like looking at the album art. I'll flip through my little stack of records or my CDs and be like, yeah, man, it's just, they're little time machines that take me back where I was. You know what I mean?
I know it. And, you know, I say it's a 10-inch and my wife says it's 7 about the record. But, you know, it just depends on who you're talking
but yeah,
to.
But yeah, but it's, but the fact that Record Store Day and all of those people, you know, have been like, you know, just so cool and so, you know, willing to, again, bring us into the fold of what they do. I mean, because there's like, you know, everybody from Foo Fighters to, you know, Run DMC and everybody, Beastie Boys. I mean, it's like to be in that fold and, hey, well, Twisted has one too. And it's like, hey, thanks, guys. It's just cool, man. I'm still a kid in the candy store. When I lose that feeling, I'm going to be a dick. So until that point, I am happy.
Awesome. True, yeah, now I told you that we'll talk about Astronomicon here in a second. But first of all, a couple of things I just want to touch base with you on. You guys saw the Halloween movie, and I know Monoxide told me about the disaster that was, where you guys, it wasn't working at first. You guys had to come back later or something like that. But did you enjoy that movie? I know you're a Halloween guy.
I love Michael Myers and I love Halloween. I had issues as a fan, but just like I just said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm the same in the same regard of, you know, everything going digital and I have to just get with it. The movie, without spoiling it, because some people still haven't seen it, it's coming out on 4K Blu-ray and all that shit good too coming up. And it's got a deleted scene and an alternate ending, which I think personally I'm going to like better than the one I seen. They said that they tested the alternate ending on a test group and it didn't fare very well. So they quick went back, called in all the actors again, reshot the one you see on the silver screen now. And I'm just like, oh, really? Like, she's Sarah Connor? You know what I mean? So it's like, I have issues. And I don't, you know, and the thing that makes me the most upset as a Halloween fan of the franchise, they really like, not in the movie, but publicly when the directors and all of them are talking and doing their interviews, they all kind of put the bash on Halloween 4 and 5 and all the in-betweens. And again, they're not the greatest movies, I'll give you that, but they made up the Halloween mythos that me and all the other fans like. So when they threw all those attributes out the window and then kind of put those in the movie, it was like, so do you like it or are you trying to pacify me? You know, I just have issues, man. I'm a devout fan, damn it. I love this shit.
Now, as far as like Halloween movies are concerned, you know, the franchise and whatnot, what other like Halloween movies do you like? I mean, not, it's kind of hard to ask this question. So outside of Halloween, like what do you got?
Night of the Demons. Night of the Demons is a great Halloween based movie. It happens on Halloween. It's great. Angela is the demon, the main demon. If you haven't seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about. Google it, get it. It's available through Scream. I want to say Scream Factory's got it on a really restored collector's edition. Another one is Trick or Treat. It's really, it kind of came out a few years back, and it's like,
dude, I saw that movie in the theater.
When it came out. What were your thoughts? Did you dig it? You were feeling it?
I thought it was a little cheesy, but I thought it was okay.
You know what's weird? Well, why I'm starting to like it a little more is I seen an interview with Deborah Hill and Tommy Wallace, and those are the people who helped do Halloween 1 and 2, the original efforts, and then Tommy Wallace actually did Halloween 3, who caught shit about it because it didn't have Michael Myers in it, blah, blah, blah. But both of them originally had said, in their answer to why Halloween 3 didn't have Michael Myers in it, is because when they originally wrote Halloween, they wanted it to be a standalone movie, and then they got paid a shit ton of money, so they forced their hand and did it again, as they say. They rewrote the same movie. And then when they got to 3, they were searching for this creative, I have to, you know, do something different. And they wanted to, like, for lack of better terms, they wanted to make it a Tales from the Dark Side, a Tales from the Crypt, like a not, like Halloween, the title was just going to always be these obscure stories about, one was about the boogeyman, Michael Myers, and this one was about a mask company, and the next one is about a Ouija board, and so on and so forth. And it's like, that's actually kind of cool when you hear it now in hindsight. But to a fan who fell in love with the character that you considered it to be a one-off movie, that now it's, you see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. It's like even Mustafa Akkad at the time, he was like, Michael Myers is the flagship. We learned fast. A movie without him doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay. But I mean, but when you listen to the idea, that's why I have I like Trick or Treat, because I think that those same kid directors or whatever seen that same interview I did and was like, you know what? Let's make that fucking movie. Let's go ahead and let's make a hodgepodge of Halloween stories. We'll theme it all together, and we'll have this guy, Sam, who will be like the Crypt Keeper, and he won't talk. So he'll, you know what I mean? It's like when you start looking at it like it's almost genius. It's really a good film.
Well, it's funny.
That's another Halloween pick.
Well, it's funny because, like, I was interviewing Rob Zombie one time, and I'm a big Rob mm-hmm. Zombie movie fan, okay? And so
yeah, me too.
I was interviewing him for Lords of Salem, which is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
I was like, nice. Yeah, right. Wait. Oh, God. I gotta research this interview. Okay, I'm with you. Go ahead.
So anyways,
I'm taking notes.
So he starts telling me about this DJ that, like, plays the record backwards and it summons up these evil spirits and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, so yeah. Like Trick or Treat. It's not like, it's nothing like Trick or Treat. Don't get people going. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, see, you know, that's what, oh, okay. See, there's a misconception. You're talking about the Trick or Treat movie from the 80s.
That's what,
talking about the new. There's another one with the same name. It's Trick R Treat. I sound like a pirate. Trick R Treat is the one I'm talking about. I know what you're talking about. The play of, yeah, hell yeah, that movie was a hot mess. But he's like, no, it's nothing like that. Yeah. That's great. Now it all makes sense. Yeah, completely.
So anyways, yeah. Hey, speaking of Rob Zombie and stuff, when I texted you the other day, and by the way, thanks for the Thanksgiving Day text. That was nice of you to pass it off.
Man, that's not the family text, man. You know how that goes.
That's right. So I texted you back. I said, dude, let's get on, you know, plug the show December 7th, the Crowfoot and Pontiac. But I said, we got to talk heavy metal. So metal. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I was like, where is it? Yeah, come on. Let's do this. Hell yeah.
So if you were to say, like, you know, your top, like, let's say, you know, four or five metal bands growing up or even now, like, well, what would be in your wheelhouse?
I would say now would probably be the easier one to say, because and the more of them are new metal, but I like Bring Me the Horizon. I like Of Mice and Men. I like Motionless in White. I like what else falls into my playlist a lot? Some Nonpoint. Nonpoint's pretty badass. I love 12 Foot Ninja. They're fusion metal. I don't know if they count, but I love them. They're, mm-hmm. they're like a blender with a little bit of everything. It'll go from a reggae beat into these heavy riffs, and it's just, oh, it's so rad. Old school stuff, though. See, now I got to ask this, because you're my friend, so you can tell me if I sound nerdy when I say this. Now, does hair metal count as metal?
Yeah, you know what's funny? Like,
I belt out Twisted Sister?
Of course. I think you can. Yeah.
Rat. Come on, dude. Motley Crue, dude. Shout at the Devil. Cinderella. Nobody's Fool.
Cinderella, one of my favorite 80s rock bands for sure, man.
Love it, dude. I love it. And it's like, you know, but it's like, that was, to me, that was like where I kept it. There was shit that was darker than that, that I didn't like find out until later on. Like I didn't ride the whole Metallica, like as they came up kind of vibe, but I found out later about them. You know, obviously I jumped on the one bandwagon and I found them and they were always good. And it's like, I think what it is it's like other shit in my life. Like I didn't come to truly appreciate it until like several years later. And they did this, I can't remember correctly, but I want to say it was a Spawn soundtrack, and it was like DJs meet the current rock fame.
Right. Yeah.
And one of them was Master of Puppets, and they did this DJ Master of Puppets version, and it hit. That was like, God damn, this song is so badass. And then I heard the original, and I was like, oh, well, fuck that. This one's even better. And it just like kind of brought it all back into it. And now, well, everybody's kind of checking out on them, and they're like, you know, well, they're whatever. I'm like, I'm still loving, man. I'm still with it. But that's my people, man. That's what I vibe with mostly, like, you know, in this moment, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw those guys just last night, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Really good show. Really great show. I got to see them perform live at the Revolver Awards, and I was just blown away. Like the performance she puts on is just it's really, really good.
Well, that's the thing. It's like seeing a Rob Zombie, a Manson, Alice Cooper, you know, sure, all that kind of stuff, all kind of wrapped up for the female singer, and you know, doing that kind of thing. I thought the show was pretty good last night, actually.
That's awesome. Yeah, George said it was really, really good. I'm still kicking myself in the ass for not making it, but yeah, but it was. I got to see him before, so I was like, I'm not gonna double dip. One of you guys go on my place, enjoy.
Hey, so yeah, last night we were having drinks, and I brought this up, and I brought it up to Monoxide as well. But you guys had a great experience on Warped Tour, right? Eh?
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. It was a blast. It was like seeing the world through different eyes. Like you thought, or I thought, whatever. I thought that like there just everything was the way that it was, and people are very to themselves, and everybody's like, you know, screw you, I'm the best. And I come to find out that's not really how it is out there. And there are people that are real people just like us, and they enjoy music and they love to perform music, and we made a lot of friends, and it was just cool to be to feel like you're amongst your peers, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's like it gave us a boost of confidence in the regard that, you know, we're not to say that we ever thought we were, but to some people's eyes, you know, you got, oh, well, they're the painted people. They're a joke. And it's like, really, they're a joke. And it's like to hear like the dudes from Every Time I Die be like, bro, you guys go out every day. You give 110%. You own that stage, man. This is an honor. And I'm just like, holy shit. I love you guys. Like, holy shit. You know what I mean? It's like, that's it that I mark out instantly, like a wrestling fan. I'm just like, man, I'm honored. I can't say it enough. It's like, just to have that kind of that level of respect or nice things said. I'll even say it, you know, little kid style, having nice things said about you and not being condescending or prickish or snarky. It's like, man, it's the greatest feeling. It makes you warm and fuzzy inside. It makes me want to make more music and just kill everything.
Yeah, it sounds like, just by talking to both of you guys, it sounds like it might have been one of the greatest touring experiences you guys have had.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, because it's kind of like that thing we were talking about before where you stick inside of your wheelhouse for so long that when you go outside of that or outside of your comfort zone or outside of that box that you consider, you know, safety, and you go out there and you actually make yourself vulnerable and you put yourself out there like that and people see, hey man, it's more to just, you know, two guys and painted up saying fuck every 2 minutes and grabbing their nuts. Like these guys actually put on a badass show and they actually got some really dope lyrics and they're actually saying some stuff and they fucking rock. All right, I like them. You know what I mean? It was that, and it was like, holy shit! It doesn't have to be just this one isolated group of people. It's almost like, you know, you're doing everyone else a disservice by just pigeonholing one demographic. And it's like now seeing it like that, and it's like, man, there are so many other people out there, because we have people say that a lot, you know, your music saved my life, and if it wasn't for you guys, you know, I wouldn't be here, or it helped my friend, which turned me on to you, blah blah blah, you know, and all that shit all that shit, I take in a stride every single day, and it makes me feel great. It lets me know that no matter what, even if it was all to end today, it was still for a good reason. But to actually hear that and to think on the other side of that coin, if I helped all of you, or we helped all of you, or this helped all of you, how many more people out there are just like you waiting for that same help?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like if you have the cure for cancer, but you're just like, I'm just going to give it to these people, and all these other people out there dying, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to put it up and let everybody have it. Maybe it'll help people. Maybe people won't give a shit. Maybe people will be like, I don't want your cure. And some people will be like, maybe I do. That's just what I mean. And I'm not trying to say in any means at all, we're on some ghost shit where we're going to summon the devil. It's none of that, I promise you. Mm-hmm. Not that those guys aren't awesome. I love those guys too. But what I'm saying is it's like, it's like audio medicine to some, and some people just like the music, but to the ones that it actually does get through, and it does help people get through their bad day. Or like, even I remember telling people in interviews, like, why in God's name would you do a song called Kill Someone? And it's like, because everyone has that day. Everyone's like, fuck my boss, he's being a complete asshole to me, I'm gonna go out in my car and turn up Kill Someone, and I'm gonna punch a steering wheel, I'm gonna collect myself, I'm gonna go back into work and make my money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we provide an outlet to let you rage and get that shit out of your system so that you don't be the fuck-ups that are walking around on the planet doing horrible shit and killing people and going in malls and places and all this dumb shit and doing dumb shit. Maybe if those people were to put on some music, doesn't have to be mine, doesn't have to be Monoxide, doesn't have to be ours or anyone's, to put on Rob Zombie. I don't care. Put it on, turn it up, and get it out of your system, and don't take it out on other people.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of where I'm at. And, and I'm just like, yeah, man, if you know, I want to own that. I want people to, you know that. So when we branched out and we tried to show more people, of course, you know, people are like, oh, well, you guys are on some sellout shit. And it's like, don't ever be misconfused or never misunderstand. We started this to be heard by everyone. That was my main goal. We wanted to be heard. And when we started to get heard by some people, you want more. And mm-hmm. I want to be heard by everybody. I don't even know if the people who are heard by everybody understand how powerful that is.
Right.
I don't know if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like for example, you know, even the president forces his tweet on you, you know, or his text on you or whatever. Like, you will hear me or else. It's like, Jesus, I can't even delete this fucking thing, you know? But it's just an example. But, I mean, there's other artists, you know, Beyonce and all, you know, you just drop an album and the whole entire attention of the world goes and looks at you. It's like, that's a powerful thing. And I hope in my heart and my soul that they understand and they don't take that for granted, because that is something that we absolutely want.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I was so happy to hear that you guys did so great on Warped Tour, because I know going in there was probably a little premonition. There was probably a little bit of nervousness.
Absolutely. All we had to go off of was five or 10 years ago when we played the last one, and it was an absolute shit show. We ended up getting hit with bottles of sand, and I lost it, and we'll leave it at that. It was an absolute shit show. And it's like, it's because of that everybody had these preconceived, like, it's going to go to hell in a handbag. Just wait till they get on stage. And it was like, it didn't. You know what I mean? Like, the very first day, Chris Motionless came over, introduced himself, and was like, I'm going to come check your set out. And I'm like, okay, no pressure, dude. Oh, what the fuck just happened? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm a fan, man. I'm not going to lie and say that I'm not. It's the shit. That's an honor. And it's like having to be like, you guys rocked it. Look at those faces. And it's just like, holy shit. It took a minute for it to set in. And like, on day like 12, it was like, okay, yeah, this is, I want to do this forever.
That's cool, man. Well, you just mentioned D. Snider. We'll wrap it up with this. D. Snider possibly coming through the Motor City at Astronomicon. Is that right?
I'm hearing words. I am ready. I'll tell you what. I got my 12-inch of Stay Hungry ready to be signed. I want it in pink paint pen because I'm crazy like that. And yeah, man, if it happens, I'll be the first one there. And I love that guy.
And your copy of Strangeland, right? Did you see that movie?
I did. And I was, there was talks that there was supposed to be more,
right?
Like he was in talks, and I'm like, so maybe you and me can get D. Snider and Craft Services and be like, tell us where the goddamn information is. We won't tell anybody, but we need to know because we need insight.
Yeah. That's another movie I saw in the theater. I'm a big D. Slappy. So you guys got your VIP party on Saturday, that weekend. What is the weekend now? Tell us the dates here.
The weekend for the party?
Astronomicon. What's the whole weekend?
Oh. Hold on a second here. He's got me the crowfoot for December. What's the weekend of the party for Astronomicon? Uh-huh, the party, or you see the dates for Astronomicon.
February 8th.
And the 10th. February 8th to the 10th.
8th through the 10th. Okay, so the 9th will be the VIP party. You got tattoo contest going on. Some of the guests include Gold Dust. He's going to be in costume. Sid Haig coming up dressed as Captain Spaulding. Bill Moseley dressed as Otis. Of course, they've got their movie 3 from Hell coming out. And, you know, I was telling you about The Lords of Salem and what a horrible movie that was. But the other movies from Rob Zombie, I love House of a Thousand Corpses and all that. I mean, you know, Devil's Rejects, great movies.
What I like to say is that no one's perfect, and I give him kudos for, again, not giving a shit. He's like, I want to get this movie out of my system, and he did. And people have the choice to like it or hate it. I'm probably in that boat with you, but he caught tremendous shit for his version of Halloween that I never knew that. And it's like now hearing, I'm going, you know, looking at all these little, that's one of my addictions. I watch YouTube Halloween, like, you know, their did you miss this in the commercial or their theories and all that crap. Uh-huh. And I read this one appreciation thread for him. And it was like, with so many people hating on Rob Zombie's version of Halloween, this is an appreciation thread. And I'm like, I missed everybody hating. When did they hate? It was like, I thought his take on Michael Myers was great. You actually got to see the from why he was what he was.
That's I thought it was good.
I did, too. I really enjoyed it. Part two was a little more Friday the 13th with the mom and the ghost and everything, but I still take it because even in all of its imperfections, it's still better than probably 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah,
the original. You know what I mean? And it's like, so I can't hate. It's like he wanted it. He's probably just as passionate about Michael Myers as you and I, and he actually got to sit in the chair and make his own. So fuck, that's got to be the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Madrox, have a great Twistmas on December 7th. Of course, the new album, sir. Generation Nightmare, coming in early 2019. And Astronomicon, that weekend of February 8th through the 10th. Got a lot of stuff percolating here for the boys from Twisted.
Trying to keep it moving, man. You know how we do. Hopefully see some of you guys out there and you know, and then don't forget, me and you at Astronomicon, and we're gonna tell D. Snyder. Maybe we're gonna do a song or something. We gotta make something happen, right?
Dude, I'm just
tell
him.
He's doing stuff with the guy. Well, didn't he do a project with the guy from Hatebreed?
Actually, I think Jamie from Hatebreed actually got him to record a solo album. That's kind of what happened.
That's what it was. I knew there was a connection there, but I've heard nothing but good things. I've actually heard two of the singles, but I mean, it's on my list of, you know, I'm not allowed to buy anything right now because my kids and whatnot are like, if you buy anything, we'll kill you because we want Christmas present ideas. So it may or may not be wrapped under my tree. I'll let you know. I look forward to it, man. I want to hear it. You know?
That's awesome. Well, I'll just tell him I want to rock. That's all I want to do.
Yes, yeah. I'm with that too. You know it. You know it, man. Yeah.
What are you going to do with your life? You know?
Yes. I even said to get that guy there, get the principal guy. I seen he was doing some conventions and whatnot and signing autographs and things like that. I'm like, that's great.
Yeah, he was in Animal House too, right?
That's what he's from. Absolutely. Because it was irrelevant. It's that whole generational gap, man. I'm telling you. It's like sometimes that's what we have to take into consideration when we're suggesting people. Because it's like who someone we or may not think of. And we have some employers that are younger, and obviously, and we'll run it by them, and they'll be like, who's that? And I'm like, oh, my God. Seriously, you don't know who? And I can't even think of who it would be. Like the other day, we were trying to figure out I can't think of who it was, but it was somebody, and we all knew who the person was, but none of the young people knew it. And I was just like, oh God, that moment when you feel dated.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, that's okay, man. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And,
so
I thank you. I thank you greatly for taking time to talk to me and listen to my crazy shit. And I appreciate being on the show as always. You can call me whenever the hell you want. We'll chop it up and talk about more shit. Maybe we can do a cover of Cinderella's Nobody's Fool. I can get that raspy.
I want to do your shit. Take Me or something. The Gypsy Road. Come on, man. That's what you guys should do. You guys should cover one of their songs for your Generation Nightmare album.
I'll let you in on a small tidbit. We actually did.
Okay, settle down. Twisted fans, you guys made it this far listening to Madrox talk for a long time. Well, he did fill me in on a cover song coming up on their next record. But you guys have to earn it. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to go to your phone, go to your computer, whatever. Give this podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes, okay? If I get enough, I'm going to put this little 25-second clip on the next Talk and Rock podcast, okay? And I'll do you a favor. I'll even put it at the beginning so you don't got to sift through the whole thing or search it out, okay? So just give this podcast a 5-star rating, and it'll be on the next Talk and Rock podcast. If I get enough. Come on, 15 or 20. You guys are rabid, twisted fans out there. Give me the stars, and I'll give you the goods on the next podcast. Now, back to Jamie.
I can't wait for people to hear that, too. So there's another little exclusive. Meltdown exclusive. Nobody knows that but you, man. So make sure you let everybody know that, and I'm around if you need me, brother. Give me a jingle.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Man, what could it be? What song could they possibly be covering? Give it a 5-star rating, and we'll divulge that information on the next Talk and Rock podcast. Hey, thank you guys so much for checking it out. Write a review, share with your friends. I know you Twisted fans out there did a great job last time with Monoxide. If you didn't hear that interview, go back and listen to it. As a matter of fact, I posted a link in the description of the show so you can check it out for yourself. Both these guys are so much fun to talk to, so much fun to hang out with. And just really good guys. I wish them nothing but the best. Jamie and Paul, really good dudes right there. Can hardly wait to hear the new record. I may have to take a swing by the studio just so I can get my voice on it. I've been thanked on records, and I've done different things here and there, but I guess I have been on a record once. It was totally botched up. I was on a Corrosion of Conformity live album, which they recorded here in Michigan. And I was the guy who introduced the band on stage. And they totally butchered my introduction, which I sweated about all day, making sure I was going to do the best job I could. Anyways, looking forward to hearing the new stuff from those guys coming up here in 2019. Hey, subscribe, share this with your friends, 5 stars, ratings, the whole thing. Hit me up on the socials at MeltdownWRIF. But most importantly, thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.